Will you listen, waiting quietly before the Lord, while I remind you of some wonderful scriptures? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has seen God at any time, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, He has declared Him. Jesus said to the people of His day, "Many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me?" The people answered Him, saying, "For a good work we stone you not, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." We see Jesus seeking the blind man, blind from birth, who now can see, and who's been freshly cast out of the synagogue. And when Jesus finds him, he asks, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" The blind man answers, "Who is He, Lord, that I might believe on Him?" Jesus answers, "You have both seen Him, and He is the one who is talking to you now." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped Him. But when Peter saw the boisterous wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him and said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they were come into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped Him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And after 8 days, again, His disciples were inside and Thomas was with them. Then Jesus came, even though the door remained shut, and stood among them and said, "Peace be unto you." Then He said to Thomas, "Take your finger and feel my hands. Take your hand and reach it into my side. And do not be faithless, but believe." And Thomas answered and said, "My Lord and my God." Lord Jesus, we thank You again this morning that You are God. We pray that You will help us again in the next few minutes to see in a fresh way who You are and what difference that should make in our lives. And we pray in Your wonderful name. Amen. The record of Scripture is clear. Jesus is God. God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, the Creator, the Redeemer, the coming King. And we saw that because Jesus is God, He is worthy of our worship. And true worship is costly worship. We saw that because Jesus is God, by His death on Calvary's cross, He has provided the only way of salvation for the whole world. One for all, the full penalty for sin. That's why Jesus can say, "I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's why Paul can write, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We saw that because Jesus is God, He has absolute right to lordship over my life. "You call me Master and Lord," Jesus said, "and you say well, for so I am. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" The starting point of missions is not missions. The starting point of missions is the lordship of Jesus Christ. God doesn't want to be included in your plans. He wants you to be included in His plan. Now, application number four. Are you ready? Write it down. We cannot finish without this. It would be criminal to do so. Because Jesus is God, you know what I'm going to say now, don't you? Don't divorce the application from the major premise. Because Jesus is God, He gives me everything I need to do anything He asks me to do. Write it down. And then turn in your Bible to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Verse 20. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. I've underlined the last words in that verse. You are in me and I am in you. You are in me. That's our position. I am in you. That is our power. Turn now to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Four words in the middle of the verse. Christ lives in me. Would you say those four words together with me out loud? Here we go. Christ lives in me. Again, Christ lives in me. Do you believe that? Who is He? He is God. God lives in me. Oh, I never thought of it that way. Now turn over to Colossians chapter 2. Oh, what a tremendous passage we have here in Colossians chapter 2. Verse 9. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Is there any question in your mind as to what this verse is saying? This verse says, Jesus is God. Now look at the next verse. And you have been given fullness in Christ. Authorized translation. And you are complete in Him. What does Colossians 2, 9 and 10 tell me? It tells me that because Jesus is God, He gives me everything I need to do anything He asks me to do. Why? Because He gives me Himself, and He is God. Now, some of you are still struggling with the blank page because you're afraid of what the Lord might put there. That's why you need this fourth application. Because Jesus is God, He gives me everything I need to do anything He asks me to do. Now, one of my favorite exercises in meditating on who Jesus is to go through the whole Bible, look at what it says about God, and remind myself that that's who Jesus is. One example. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, the Lord comes to Abraham and says, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be perfect. When God refers to Himself in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, He uses a very specific term. He uses the term El Shaddai. Have you ever heard that before? Oh, sure, I've heard that before. Amy Grant taught it to me. You know, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, na, 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 we love, oh, that's a neat song. A lot of people don't even stop to think, what does that mean? Do you know what El Shaddai means? El, God, Shaddai, a Hebrew word which comes from two roots. The first root means to be sufficient. The second root means to be superior. And those two roots are put together in the word Shaddai. El, the God who is Shaddai. To be sufficient, to be superior. What does it mean to be sufficient? Well, another way to say that is to say he is enough. You go to somebody's house to eat and they serve you a nice meal and they say, would you like to have seconds? You say, no, thank you. I've had sufficient, or I've had enough. So God is the one who is enough. But it's more than that. It says not just sufficient, but superior. What does superior mean? It means greater than, more than. So when you put the two together, you say, who is God? God is El Shaddai, the one who is enough? No, the one who is more than enough. And that's who Jesus is. Jesus is God, El Shaddai, the one who is more than enough. He's more than enough to learn a foreign language. He's more than enough to raise your support. He's more than enough to say goodbye to your family and friends. He's more than enough for your children who will grow up a long way from their grandparents. He's more than enough to face hostile governments that don't want you to come there and preach the gospel to the people that live there. He's El Shaddai. I wouldn't have taken one eatsy-beatsy step toward the mission field if I didn't believe that before I went. Look at Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Now, keep that in mind and turn back to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, the verse that we looked at yesterday. Yesterday, we looked at the commission. Make disciples of the nations by going, baptizing, and teaching. Then we went back and we looked at the premise, which precedes the commission, the fact that all authority is given to him in heaven and on earth. And we saw that the starting point of missions is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. What we didn't do yesterday is look at the promise that comes at the end. Look at the promise. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Isn't that wonderful? I am with you. Who is it that says this? Jesus. Who is Jesus? He is God. He is the one who has all authority. Now look back up in verse 18. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go. Now watch. In the New Testament, there are two Greek words which are translated into English more often than any other words into the word authority or sometimes power. One of them is the word dunamis. That Greek word means power. It's the word that's used in Ephesians 3:20 when we read these words, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. The word there is dunamis. Now unto him who has the power to do exceeding abundantly above all. When you think about that verse, see, Paul is not just kind of exaggerating. He's reminding himself that Jesus is El Shaddai, the one who is more than enough, therefore he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. That's the first word that's used many times in the New Testament. But there's another word that's translated authority, and that's the word that's used here in Matthew 28:18. It's the word ekousia. And the word ekousia means authority, but it's different than the word dunamis. Dunamis means raw power or authority. Ekousia means power or authority in legitimate hands. So it's the difference between a criminal with a gun, that's dunamis, and a policeman with a gun, that's ekousia. The criminal has raw power, but the policeman not only has a gun, but he also has a badge. And that's power in legitimate hands. And that's what Jesus says he has here in this verse. He says, all ecclesia has been given to me. Now, I love to watch American professional football. And it just blows my mind every time I turn the television on and watch or go to a game and see these hunks out there. I mean, 260 pounds, 280 pounds. And they get down there and line up across the line from you. That's dunamis. But the real power and authority on the football field is not the 260-pound guard that lines up across from you. It's the little skinny guy with a striped shirt and the whistle. You see, the guard can knock you down, but the ref can throw you out. And he's the one who has ecousia. Now, Jesus says, I have ecousia. I have power, that kind of power. And I am the one who goes with you. Now, I've had the privilege 3 times of preaching the gospel to the Philadelphia Phillies. I've preached the gospel to the late Florida Marlins. I've preached the gospel to the Los Angeles Dodgers, and I've preached the gospel to the St. Louis Cardinals. The reason I've had the privilege of doing that is because I'm a friend of the chaplain of the Philadelphia Phillies baseball team. His name is Jack Hibbard. Now, I am a Philadelphia Phillies fan from way back. And all my life, I've gone to Philadelphia Phillies games in Philadelphia because that's where I grew up. And we go a couple hours ahead of time, park in the long-term parking, walk to the stadium, you know, pay the cheapest ticket and get way up in the top deck and then hope like crazy that somebody didn't come down below and halfway through the game to kind of move down, you know. And I remember the first time I went to speak to the Phillies, Jack Hibbard went with me, the chaplain, and we got close to the stadium and I started to turn towards the long-term parking. He said, no, you don't have to go there. He said, just come on down to the clubhouse. We drove right up to the clubhouse. There was a gate right there, and there was a guard there. And I drove up, and he stopped me. And he says, what are you doing here? And I said, well, I'm with Jack. And he looked through, and he saw Jack. Oh, okay, go through. See, Jack has ecclesia. And so he let me in. And then we parked right outside the clubhouse. We walked in, and I walked right into Mike Schmidt. I mean, he was right there. Mike Schmidt, third baseman of Philadelphia Phillies. Wonderful believer, by the way. I had a blank baseball in my pocket, just in case. I had him sign it. And then we went over to the elevator, and you can only work it with a key. And when the guy with the key was standing there, saw Jack with me, he opened the elevator. I went in. Andy Musser was in the elevator. Andy Musser, I've listened to him for years. He's the announcer of the Philadelphia Phillies baseball team on the radio. I buy Tasty Cakes because of him. We shook hands, not because of who I was, but because who was with me. It was Jack, and he has ecclesia. Then we went to the locker room. I preached to the Phillies. And then we went out to batting practice. I stood right there and watched them hit the ball. And then when the game started, I didn't go up in the nosebleed section. I got a box seat on the third baseline right behind the dugout. And then when the game was over and all those poor people were still trying to get out of the long-term parking, I was home! Jesus says, all authority is given to me. And I, surely, am the one that goes with you, even to the end of the age. Do you believe that? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are God. We thank you that you have all authority. We thank you that you're not willing that any should perish. We're amazed that you've chosen to use us as your instruments to take the gospel to those who still have never heard. And we're even more amazed that you've said, I will be with you. And we know it's true. And we thank you for that. And I pray for any who are still struggling, help them to believe who you are and to trust you for all they need to do whatever you ask them to do. We pray in your wonderful and powerful name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.